Travis and I have a running joke about my closet. I use it as my catch-all. Sometimes it's a wreck. Actually, most of the time it's a wreck. And it contains a mixture of my dirty clothes, clothes that I have taken the time to wash and fold and put in a basket and lay out nicely, and they're all commingled. There may be a box or two in there of something. I carry boxes around in my car, work stuff, church stuff, other stuff, and other miscellaneous things that I don't really want to deal with or sort. I just take it and I put it like in a box. Sometimes it's not in a box. Maybe sometimes it's in a grocery bag and just put it in the closet. So the other day, our grand boys were at the house and they love to play hide and seek. And of course, one of them decides he wants to go in the closet and hide. And I cringe. I'm like, okay, they're going to go in there and fall down and get hurt or, you know. But one of them runs out and says, "Granny's got a messy closet." I'm like, okay. I didn't want them to do that. So I don't know if any of you have a messy closet. But some of you might have a junk room. And if I had a junk room, I would use it too. Growing up, we had a junk room. And you would have to push with your foot the items so that you could push the door, close the door shut. It was full. But I'm not going to ask you to reveal the condition of your junk room or your closet or your garage, Travis. But I'm going to ask you to walk through the rooms of your heart as you listen to this message and determine if Jesus would be a guest in your house or the Lord of all. This message is inspired by an essay that was written by Robert Boyd Munger. Phil, I know you know this probably because it's some legendary piece of literature that was written back in the 50s. I've never read it, but there are over 10,000 copies and 10 million copies in print. I mean, it's a huge essay. And they've published it in a little bitty, like a small booklet, and I guess maybe like you could put it, you know, in your pocket. But it has a huge, huge symbolism in it that I believe and I pray today that will touch you. I've taken the liberty to use the contents as it relates to my spiritual life, and I pray that you will be blessed by it. Dear Lord, I ask for you to give me your words today for the message and for your people. And I ask that you would help our time to give you honor and our worship to give you honor. Amen. So in this story, the heart is portrayed as a home. And Munger says this about accepting Christ into his heart. What a difference. What an entrance that was made into my heart. It wasn't anything spectacular, but it was very real. It was at the very center of my life. I remember when I asked Christ to come into my life. And I was a young girl, and I was probably 10. And I remember how that felt. But what I really remember is when I rededicated my life as an adult woman. And that was real. I don't know if it's because I was so young that I wasn't able to have understand the importance of it. But when I did, and I rededicated my life on the walk to Emmaus, and I can't describe to you how real the Lord is to me today. I'm in love with the Lord. And I'm amazed at the things that He does through me. And I'm amazed at the strength and the courage He gives me when I sit back and I let Him, as I've said this before in this church, drive the bus. It's amazing. So Munger goes forward and he acknowledges to the Lord, he says this, and I want to quote this: "I want this heart of mine to be yours. I want to have you settle down here and be perfectly at home. Everything I have belongs to you." It's a big statement. So the first room that they go to is the study or the library. And in other words, the room of the mind. And this room is a small room, but has very, very thick walls. Can any of you relate to that? And it really is the control center of the house. Jesus entered and he looked at the books, the magazines, the favorite computer sites that were highlighted, pictures on the walls. And as Munger followed Jesus' gaze, he became a little uncomfortable. He was embarrassed for Jesus to be looking at these things that he filled his mind with on a regular basis. He told Jesus that he knew that that room needed a radical do-over. And he asked him to make it what it ought to be. And the Lord said he would be happy to do that. And Jesus got to work and started rearranging and made that room in which one they could be at home with. In Philippians 4:8, it talks to us about setting our minds on things that are above and to let go of worldly things. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." So he continues his story and he moves into the second room. And this is the living room. This room represents intimate companionship. So he says, "We walked into the living room, and this room was rather intimate and comfortable. I liked it. Had a fireplace, overstuffed chairs, sofa, really quiet atmosphere." He said Jesus seemed pleased too, but naturally as a young Christian, I was thrilled. I couldn't think of anything I would rather do than have a few minutes with Christ, one-on-one, in an intimate conversation. So he promised to meet me there and start the day every day. So morning after morning, I would come downstairs to the living room, and he would make my heart warm as he revealed his love and his grace as we read through the scriptures. And they were wonderful hours that we spent together. In fact, we renamed the living room. We called it the withdrawing room. It was the time of day that we could just be together and have our quiet time together. But little by little, under the pressures and responsibilities, the time began to get shorter and shorter. Why, I don't know, but I thought, I'm just too busy to spend time with Christ. This was not intentional, you understand. It just happened. Finally, not only was the time getting shorter, but then I began to miss a day now and then. It was examination time at the university, and then it was some other emergency. And then I would miss 2 days, often more. I remember one morning when I was walking by and I was in a hurry, and I passed by the living room, looked in the living room. Looking in, I saw a fire in the fireplace, and Jesus was sitting there alone. Disappointed in myself, I thought, I've invited Christ is a guest to my home, and this is how I'm treating him, and I am neglecting him. He went in and he asked for forgiveness. So as I read that about the living room, I thought about how busy I get. Busy doing what? And I neglect my time with the Lord. He's not my priority. I've moved him down the list. You know, when you look at somebody's life, and it's really easy for us to look at other people's life because we don't want to look in the mirror at how we're living our lives or what's not right. And I'm guilty of this. I make time for the things that are most important to me. And then I thought, in our living room, Travis and I watch TV at night. So I'm thinking about how much time we sit there, if I binge watch TV, or maybe even what I'm watching. I can't say that everything that I fill my mind with is praiseworthy or true or noble. Back to the story, they go into the workroom. And Jesus asked if he had one, and he did. And it was down in the basement in the home of my heart. And he said, I had a workbench and some equipment, but I wasn't doing very much with it. And once in a while, he would go down and mess around, play around with some gadgets, something, you know, was not really producing anything that was substantial or meaningful. And Jesus looked at his workbench and the little talents and skills that were there. And he said, this is quite furnished. What are you producing with your life for the kingdom of God? Ouch. He looked at one or two of the little toys that he had thrown together, and he held one up, and he said, are these little toys all that you're doing for others in your Christian life? Well, Lord, it's the best I can do. I know it isn't much. I really want to do more, but after all, I don't really have the skill or the strength or the time to do more. Jesus asking, would you like to do better? He said, yes. I don't have a workroom. Well, maybe I guess you could call my closet kind of a workroom, but if I can find everything I need. And maybe my office is my workroom, because I do lots of things in my office that aren't just work-related. But Travis does. He calls it his music room. But I might refer to it as his junk room. He writes little notes on the tiniest pieces of paper that look like something that needs to be all gathered up and put in the shredder or the garbage can, or just like it's so tiny you could just, you know, crunch it up in your hand. I am forbidden for throwing anything away in that room. Just like I am responsible for bringing all the mail to him for him to sort through to see what's junk and not junk. Because I think a couple times I've thrown away things that were not junk.
Checks.
Look like junk to me. But with that said, he goes in there and a lot of times he'll shut the door. Or I'll come in from being out and he's in that room with the door shut. And he's struggling. He's on his, you know, he's either on the guitar or his piano, or sometimes he's not, and he's singing. And I can hear him working through a song, and he'll just repeat it and then go up and down, and just, you can tell that he's working on it, trying to make it like it's supposed to be, like it ought to be. And there are so many times that I hear another voice in that room with him. That's his living room. That's his place where he has companionship. And he has to shut the door so that it can be intimate. So the story goes on to the next room that Jesus wants to go into. This was, Munger calls it the recreational room. We call it rec room, or maybe your entertainment room. But the man was hoping that he would not ask about that room. There were certain associations, friendships, activities, amusements that he wanted to keep for himself. He didn't think that Christ would enjoy them, but more than that, he didn't think he would approve of them. So one evening he was on his way out, and he said, I'm just going to go on by and he won't see me. And Jesus stopped him and he said, hey, can I go with you? He's like, no, you don't want to go with me tonight. Why don't you go with me tomorrow night? Tomorrow night's Wednesday, and we'll go to Wednesday night prayer meeting. Jesus said, okay. I just thought that when you invited me into your house, that we were going to do everything together, and that we'd spend good quality time with each other, and that you would want me to be there. So he leaves Jesus at home, and he goes out, and guess what happens? He has a miserable time. But when he returns home, Jesus is still awake in his room. And he went in, and he says, Lord, I've learned my lesson. I've asked you to come and live in my home, and this is how I've treated you. I can't have a good time without you. And I want to choose the things that are most pleasing to you, where you want to be, where I feel comfortable too. So from now on, they did everything together. Have you noticed how the story moves along from room to room, that their relationship changes? It becomes more intimate. It becomes more real. The further that Jesus is invited into our hearts and our lives, the closer our relationship is. And that realness does become spectacular when we do that. So before we move to the last room, you may wonder where I found this story or whatever, and Pastor always says you should have a message in your pocket. So when I read things, I like them, or maybe I don't. I just read the title, and I'll put them away, and then I'll go back later. Some of them I read, and actually I throw them in the trash can. Some of them I don't, and I keep. And this is one of the ones that I kept. And when I pulled it back out a couple weeks ago, I remembered why I kept it. Phil, will you play our video, please?